Morning.
Morning.
We don't want the little foxes to spoil the vine, amen. Good word to us this morning. If you got your Bibles, why don't you open them up to the first epistle of John. We're looking, John will be in chapters 2 and 3. That's towards the end of the Bible. If you remember, it's the first epistle of John. That's the study that we're in right now. We're working our way through the book of 1 John. It's good to be in Christ.
Amen.
If you're a true Christian, you ought to be filled with joy this morning. Amen. Your sins have been forgiven. Just think about these things. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been given eternal life. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You've got the Spirit of God living inside of you. As we've been learning, you now have the ability to walk with God. You can have fellowship with God. You're His son or His daughter. You've been adopted into His family. By grace, you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, amen. You're loved by your Father. And I believe it's clear in 1 John chapter 1. If you look at verses 3 and 4 quickly there, you'll see that he says, I just reemphasize this to you every time we talk about 1 John, these last few messages. But John is writing so that we may know how to walk in fellowship with God the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ and with each other as believers. And he's writing that our joy would be full. Amen.
Yeah.
And this is what we're after in this study. This is what we're hoping to find the answers to. I want each person, each one of us, not only to believe that we can have fellowship with God, I want us to know how to have it, and I want everybody to experience it. Amen.
Yeah.
I want you to have fellowship with God, a close walk with Christ, a close walk with God. If you remember last week, we began to talk about the things that hinder that a little bit, and we said if we want to walk in fellowship with God, we have to detach ourselves from the world. If you looked at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, I'll read them as a reminder to you. John said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Amen.
Amen.
We understand John's message. You see, the world tries to push us to live our lives in the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and in the pride of life. But for the ones who want to live in fellowship with God, they have to intentionally detach themselves from the world. And we talked about how to do that. We said that we have to stop caring about what the world thinks about our walk with God. We have to be more concerned with what God's perception of us is than the world's. We have to stop trying to keep up with the pace of this world. We have to stop following the priorities of this world. And we have to start living with an eternal perspective. And here's the danger I thought about this week after preaching that. Here, some will hear that and they'll say to themselves, gosh, I do need to slow my pace down. And so I'm going to rearrange some things in my life. I'm going to withdraw from some things in my life. I'm going to slow my life down a little. And that would be good. But here's the dangerous part. What they'll decide to withdraw themselves from will be the very things that are needed and good for their soul. They'll withdraw themselves from godly things rather than worldly things. But don't be deceived this morning. It's the world that you need to detach from. Not the things of God. We detach ourselves from the world that we might be able to draw close to Him, to do the will of God, to produce the fruits of righteousness that God desires from His children. So that's one thing we know that can hinder our fellowship with God is if we're attached to this world, we're not going to walk closely with the Lord, we're not going to experience the love of the Father because we love the world. Now we're going to look at another aspect this morning of fellowship with God. And listen to me, what we've looked at so far in 1 John and what we're going to look at today, these are things that you should take very seriously. They're of great importance. Consider these things and take them to heart. Because I believe the Spirit of God is revealing to us how we can live this Christian life and live in good fellowship with God. And I promise you, that's something you need this morning. The truths that we're going to look at today may be some of the most important truths that you need to understand to live your Christian life in a way that's pleasing to God, to experience the kind of fellowship that you need to experience with God. So if you're in 1 John, look at chapter 2. Let's look at verses 3 through 6 to begin. Now by this, we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Amen?
Amen.
Now we should probably read that and ask ourselves, when John said walk as he himself walked, was there something specific about how the Lord walked that John wanted us to consider? When he spoke of keeping his commandments, we know Jesus gave us many commandments, all that we should keep. But did John have something specific in mind here? You see, I think there was something specific in John's mind. If you would look with me, you don't have to turn to come up on the screen, but John chapter 15, the Gospel of John, verses 9 through 14, hear what the words of the Lord said. Hear what He said. He said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That sounds familiar, right? We just read that in 1 John. In verse 12, he said, this is my commandment. Now listen, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, I want you to understand the context of when Jesus said these things. This was at the time of the Feast of Passover, and Christ and His disciples, they were gathered together. It would be the last time that they were all gathered together. He knew that the time of His suffering was coming. He was getting ready to begin. He was soon going to lay down His life as a sacrifice for our sins. But as Luke recorded in his gospel, Jesus had a great desire to eat the feast of the Passover with them. And as they gathered together and as they were eating supper, you remember the scene. Jesus took the cup of wine and He held it up and He said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for the sins of many. And he took the bread and He broke it and He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And it said, the Bible says that Jesus then rose up from supper and He took a towel and He girded Himself and He poured water into a basin. And He began to wash each of the disciples' feet. If you went to John chapter 13, you would read there in verses 13 through 17 that after He finished washing them, He said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Amen.
Amen.
Think about this. The Lord of glory The Bible says that in the beginning, he was with God and he was God. All things were created by him and through him and for him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And that God, you just heard, bowed his knee and washed his disciples' feet. After he washed their feet, Judas betrayed him, left, and Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. Now hear them good. John 13, 34 and 35. This was the whole purpose of that. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I think that's probably the specific thing that John has in mind as he pens this epistle. Throughout his life, Jesus gave us an example of how to love. Jesus showed us what it meant to love the Father. And he showed us what it meant to love one another. He submitted himself to the Father in obedience and in love. He did the Father's will. He said, "Everything the Father has told me to do, I have done. Every word he's told me to speak, I have spoken." He was in perfect submission to God. And to us, he humbled himself. And he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself, the Bible says, the form of a bondservant. See, he showed us how to love by example. After he washed their feet, he gave them this commandment that they should love one another. And this is what the Spirit was bringing to remembrance in John's heart. John wants us to understand this importance of love, and he wants us to know that if we don't love each other, then we won't have fellowship with God. You won't walk in the light. Listen to these words, 1 John 2:9 through 11 now. Look there. "He who says he's in the light and hates his brother." Now just hear, I don't have to preach it. You can just read it and see it. "He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now listen at 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. "If someone says, 'I love God,'" we hear that a lot, right?
Yeah.
"If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must," and you should underline that in your Bible, that word "must," that's pretty direct. "He who loves God must love his brother also." So you can see, I can see, anybody that reads that can clearly see, if we don't have a genuine love for one another, we're not going to walk in fellowship with God. If we don't have love, we walk in darkness. We don't know where we're going. We're blinded. And if we say we love God, and even if we profess a love for God, but we don't love each other, it turns out that we're nothing but liars, because we cannot love God if we don't love our brother. He who loves God must love his brother also. So do you see the connection this morning between God's love for you, your love for God, and our love for one another? We love God because he first loved us. And our love for God causes us to love one another. It's that simple. Basically, the Lord is telling us, if you've experienced my love and you truly love me, you'll love each other. And through your love for each other, people will know that you are my disciples. Amen? They will see your love for each other, and they'll see my love on display. Perhaps one of the greatest things that you can do as a Christian to reach the lost world is to learn how to love one another. It's a difficult subject this morning. You say, well, there's nothing difficult about it. Well, I ain't started preaching too hard on it yet. Because in truth, loving others is not easy. It's not easy. But don't miss the reality of the importance of it. Don't miss it. If this is not something that you can brush off and say, well, I'm not worried about whether or not I love the way the Bible tells me to love. That don't matter to me. If you love God, this matters to you. Now, let's look in 1 John chapter 3. And you can turn there in your Bibles if you want to. And I want us to look through, beginning with verse 10, down a few verses here. And I want you to listen to how John talks about the love and the importance of love. He begins with this: in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. You do know this morning that all of us are created by God, but God is not everyone's father. We're all created by Him, but God, this is what the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want God to be your Father, you must be in Christ. Amen. Jesus said it this way. He said, He told some of them there in John chapter 8, I don't have it on the screen, Thomas, but in John chapter 8, He said, some of you are of your father, the devil. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. That's Jesus' words. And so he said, in this, the children of God and the children of devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor, now look at these words, this last sentence, nor is he who does not love his brother. Those that don't love one another are not the children of God. Amen. John is saying, you can tell who the true Christians are by looking to see who loves his brother. Brethren, we talk all the time about examining ourselves. And we say, oh, man needs to examine it. Here's something you can examine. Here is a specific thing you can look at. Whoever does not love his brother is not of God. Now, verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. John says, this commandment to love one another has been the message since the beginning. Listen, that means two things. He said, it's the message you received from us since you first believed, but it goes even farther back than that. From the very beginning, if you went back to the Ten Commandments, you would find that the message in the Ten Commandments is that we love God and we love one another. It's always been the message. Love God, love one another. Jesus said, what's the greatest commandments? He said, it is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these things hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Any gospel, any religion, any form of religion that pretends that you can be right with God and not have a genuine love for one another is a false gospel and a false religion. It's false. And John compares this loving each other to Cain and Abel. And he says, Cain murdered his brother because Abel's works were righteous and his were evil. What was it about Cain's works? I mean, Cain sacrificed to God. I know lots of people that will say, well, and I probably have said it at times in the past, but when you really think about it, we said, well, Cain, he brought the fruit of the ground, but Abel, he made a blood sacrifice. Well, there's truth in that. But God at times asked them to bring the fruit of the ground to him. So what was it about Cain's works? He sacrificed. He was willing to make a sacrifice. Listen, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 tells us what the difference was. It says that Abel offered his offering to God by faith. By faith, Abel offered to God. Cain did not. Cain did not come to God in faith. The difference between Cain and Abel was Abel loved God, he believed God, and he was righteous to God. It was his righteous gift. Cain had a dead religion. Cain didn't have real fellowship with God. And John says, here's how you can know that Cain didn't have it, because at the end of the day, he was willing to murder his brother. If he had loved God, he would have manifested a love for Abel. And church, listen to me. If you love God, it'll manifest in love for one another. Now look, go on. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Even though you love, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Can you tell John's serious about this? He's not writing it once or twice. He's writing it over and over and over. He said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John says, if you don't have this love for one another, you're like Cain. You've got a dead religion. You're a murderer. You've not passed from death to life. You've not been born again. If you're not, listen, he said, if you aren't born again, you're not abiding in Christ. You're abiding in death. Verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Now listen at these words. This is why I say it's difficult to preach this. This is why I say this is a hard thing to hear. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Church, do you understand that back in John 15, when Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends? Do you understand that he was talking about us laying down our lives for each other? Verse 17, listen to what it says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, a lot of people try to love in word only. They'll tell you they love you. They'll text you that they love you. They'll say that they love you. But when it comes to loving practically, in deed and in truth, they don't do that. They don't love self-sacrificially. Their love is in word only, or in deed only. Not in deed, not in truth. And by this we know, listen, he goes on in verse 19, that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And you say, well, what must I do? Look at this last verse. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's the word of God this morning. Here is the commandment. You want to know what you need to do to walk in fellowship with God? Here's the commandment. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. What is love? We've talked about this in the past, but what is it? You know, today we love everything. We love everything. We love sports. We love pizza. We love TV. We love soda. We love our children. We love our family. We love all kinds of things. But what is this love that Christ has commanded? What is it that John is writing about? You know, Paul to the Corinthian church, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us all about these spiritual gifts that are available to us, all these great things, you know, prophecy and all these other things. And then at the end of that chapter, Paul says, but there's a greater thing, a more excellent way than all those gifts. He says you can have the best gifts. If you went over to 1 Corinthians 13, he says you can have the best gifts, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. Look in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 as an example. Paul said, if I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. You ever slow down and really consider that verse? Wouldn't we say today, wouldn't we say if somebody gave everything they had to feed the poor, wouldn't we say, well, they're loving? Paul says that you can do that. You can bestow all you have to feed the poor and not love. This verse is telling us you can fake the action of love. You could give all you have, but still not have the love in your heart. So what is this love? My definition will fall way short. But it's what I've got to share with you. You might could write your own definition of love and add to this a little bit, but make sure it's biblical. But here's what I would say love is. Love is a genuine care for someone else. It's a desire for their good and their well-being. So much so that you desire their good and their well-being over your own. And it's always expressed not in word only, but in action, in a willingness to serve others. When Jesus bowed himself down and began to wash his own creation's feet, he said, I am your Lord and Master. He said, you're right to say those things. Remember Peter, he said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, oh, but you want me to wash. You want me to do this, Peter. Jesus was showing them, I love you. I care about you. I desire your good. I'm willing to humble myself down. Now you think if the Lord of glory can humble himself down, he said, I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to wash your feet. How much more then should you and I, who are not each other's Lord and Master, how much more should we be willing to serve one another? I'm going to ask you this morning. Do you love one another like that? You take a look around this room this morning. This is a good full room. But even in In this room right now, the pews are full. And if you look around this room, it's still a little church. We're just a little group of people, imperfect.
Amen.
Thank you. Just making sure you remembered. Imperfect. People that have struggles, amen. Everybody in here this morning has struggles. Every one of you is struggling with something. Every single one. And imperfect people struggling in the process. Those that are saved are in the process of sanctification, but it's a work in progress. Amen. Different from one another. Everybody in here is different from you. Different personalities, but trying to follow Jesus. Now I want you to think about this. Christ loved and gave himself for every one of the many. They're not your relatives by birth, some of them. But in Christ, they're our brother and sister. Amen? The same Spirit that Christ put to live in you, he put to live in them. The same good that God wants for you, he wants for them. Now the question this morning is, as you look around at one another, as you're leaving here this morning and you're shaking hands, you have to answer this question for yourself. Do you love them? Do you love each other the way Christ loves you? Now I want you to think about that. Christ loved you knowing you had nothing to offer him. He loved you even though you didn't deserve to be loved by him. He didn't love you based on your worth. He didn't love you based on your looks. He didn't love you based on your wealth. He didn't love you based on your personality. He didn't love you based on your merit. He didn't love you based on the works that you would do. He didn't love you based on what you could give to him or do for him. He loved you unconditionally. Do we love each other like that? Or do we base our love on what the other person does or doesn't do? Do we base our love on what the other person can or can't give to us? Is our love for one another conditional or unconditional? Do the people in this room have to earn your love this morning? Because you did not have to earn his. You see, our love for each other must be unconditional. You say, I can't do it. As I wrote this message out, as I was studying and praying, when I wrote those words, our love must be unconditional, the first thing that came to my mind was, I can't do it. And I was right, and you're right, you can't do it. But Christ can do it in you. Christ can do it through you. The Spirit of God will empower you. If you're willing to walk in the Spirit, to surrender to the Spirit of God and yield yourself to Him, if you're willing to humble yourself down, Christ can do it in you. People will sometimes disappoint you. Amen?
Amen.
People will sometimes do things that hurt you. Sometimes people will take advantage of you. Some people may leave you. They did all those things to Jesus, yet he loved them. I thought about Peter. Peter had the best of intentions. When Christ was explaining that he would have to die, Peter said, no way. No way. And Jesus told him, he said, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he did. He did deny him three times. Cursed his name. rejected him, pretended like he never knew him. The next time that Jesus saw Peter, did he love him?
Amen.
He loved him. He loved him. Somebody in here says something you don't like? One time. What happens? I'm preaching. I'm preaching. Somebody here does something you don't like, thinks something you don't think, and don't do something you think they ought to do. And just like that, our love is gone because we never had the love in the first place. We need an unconditional love. Let me tell you what, if you want to have a love like that, if you want to love like Christ, I'm going to tell you the secret I told you last week. It's not really that great of a secret. It's right there in the pages of Scripture. If you want to love this way, you have to die to self. You got to die to self. You got to see the love that Christ gave to you and choose to reflect that love to other people. You got to make the decision to love people. They won't always earn it. They won't always deserve it. But you love them anyways. You love with all your heart. Now listen, I'm not going to preach these things to you. I'm going to read you a bunch of Scripture. And I want you to see how the Scripture instructs us to live in love with one another. These Scriptures preach themselves so easy. Galatians 5:13 says, through love, serve one another. See, it says, you've been called to liberty. Don't use that liberty as an opportunity for your flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But instead, through love, the liberty you've been given, use that liberty to serve one another. Yeah. Now listen to Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now I need you to be thinking about these things as we read them. I need you to be saying, is this the way I love the people in this room right now? Am I willing through love to serve them? Am I willing to bear their burdens? 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. If I love you, I have a responsibility to you to comfort you and to edify you, to build you up in the good things of God. Hebrews 10:24-25, he says, consider one another. Stir one another up to love and good works. He goes on to say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another. So much more as the day is approaching. Romans 15:14, he tells us to admonish one another. This is how you live in love with one another. James 5:16, he tells us to confess your trespasses to one another and to pray for one another. That's what love feels like. It's what it does. James 4:11, listen to this one. You want to love each other? Take it to heart. Do not speak evil of one another. Wow. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. And if you're a judge of the law, you're not a doer of it, but a judge. There's big implications. Listen to James 5:9. Do not grumble against one another. In other words, don't complain against one another. Don't complain about each other. If I can read these and you don't feel conviction, I'm amazed. Literally amazed. Are you telling me you never walked out of those church doors and got in your car and grumbled about somebody in here? Romans 14:13, listen to this one. Let us not judge one another anymore. But rather, here's what we should do. We should resolve that we're not going to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Ephesians 4:32, Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, these are all one another's. It's part of how we love one another. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Romans 15:7, receive one another. I'll pick up the pace. 1 Corinthians 12, he says, have the same care for one another. This is an important one. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. 1 Peter 1:22, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 Peter 3:8, have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4:10, another big one. You've each received a gift. If you've been born again, the Spirit has given you a gift. You're to minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 5:5, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. That's what we should see in the church. That's what the world should see in us. A group of people that love each other like that. A group of people living like that. That's what you should experience in church. That should be your experience. Not grumbling, not fighting, not arguing, not bickering with one another. You should experience the gentle peace and love of God coming from the brethren. I've been saying it for 2 or 3 weeks now. There's more to this than a Sunday morning faith. There's more to your Christianity than attending church and listening to a sermon. I'm talking about how to live the Christian life and walk with God. Listen, what I'm trying to say to you is that we, all of us that are born again, are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Him. That means we are united together in Christ. We are in communion with one another. That means we all have to be willing to lay down our lives for one another. We sacrifice for each other. You remember the early church? When in the early church, and I won't turn there in Acts chapter 2, but when somebody in the church had a need, you know what the church did? They sold the things that they needed to sell so that they could make sure they meet that other person's need. Now, is that what people see in the church today? Is that the love that's reflected in the church today? It should be. There's nothing any different today than then. You say, well, it was a different culture. That's hogwash. The cultural argument means nothing. That's what God expects for His children all down through time, regardless of the culture they're in. Amen. We serve each other. We love each other. We sacrifice for each other. We help each other. We care for each other. We exhort each other. We encourage each other. At times, we admonish one another. We have to come along beside and correct one another in love and in grace. And we do all these things for one another. Each one of us should care more about the others in here than we care about ourselves. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish. Now listen to those words. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. If one hurts, we all hurt. If one grieves, we all grieve. If one struggles, we all help bear the load. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. This is the way of God's people. We're no longer to live for ourselves. We're to live for one another. We're to live in fellowship together. God has joined us together. We're not acquaintances that worship in the same place on Sunday morning. We're not strangers who worship together. We're family, connected together in Christ. God is our Father. We are each other's brothers and sisters. We should know each other deeply. We should care for each other deeply. And some of you don't even know each other's names. We got to dig in. There's a lot of folks that don't even know each other. You don't even try to be a part of each other's lives. I'm not saying that we should be busybodies. We shouldn't interfere in each other's lives. But listen, we should be involved in each other's lives. As a friend, we should be willing to lay down our lives for each other. We should think daily. I told you this was not easy. Maybe it seems easy to you, but it doesn't to me. We should think daily. How can I bless my brothers and sisters? How can I help carry their load today? How can I serve them and bless them? You say, well, that's the work of the pastor. No, that's the work of the body. That's all of our work. How can I serve? How can I bless? How can I help? You want to have fellowship with God? You want to walk with Him? Live like that. Esteem others higher than yourself. Humble yourself down. Love them the way Christ loved you and find joy in that. Do it with a pure heart. Do it in sincerity. Don't just love in word. Don't hug each other's neck and say, I love you, and not really love. If you're going to say you love somebody, love them. Love them indeed and in truth. And then, you know what? All men will know that you're Christ's disciple. Jesus said this in Matthew 23. I've got to be finished. Matthew 23, verses 11 and 12. He said, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. We've got to die to self. Now just hear the words of Jesus one last time this morning before we stand together. Just hear what he said. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If you don't walk in love towards one another, you're not going to enjoy the fellowship and the closeness to God that you're looking for. If you live selfishly, you can be like Cain and have religion. You listening to me? Don't get distracted because I said we're almost ready to stand. I'll preach another 30 minutes if I have to. And I can't. You can be like Cain and you can have a religion. You can make some sacrifices. And you can think that that will appease God. All the while, Cain's true mindset was revealed when he said this, am I my brother's keeper? You think, think of it. Your religious sacrifices are meaningless if you don't have love for each other. If we can't love each other, yes, in spite of your faults, in spite of the person next to you's faults, in spite of their personality, even if they annoy you a little bit. I know some of you wanted to say amen, but you held it back. Even if you struggle, you love. You love. Because if you don't love, it profits you nothing. Let's stand together. Do you recognize this morning the high calling of love? We're called to love one another. I want you to know this morning. If you're here and you're lost and you don't know the Lord, Christ has come to seek and to save the lost.
Yes.
Maybe you're here this morning and you thought about becoming a Christian, but you said, you know what? I don't know that I see the, I don't know that the church is living the way that it ought to live. I don't know. I don't see the things in the church the way that they're written in the Bible. I'm going to tell you this. We should display those things. But don't let our stumbling at times hinder you from coming to the Father. Amen. You come and love. You come and obey Christ. You come and be saved. We got a high calling to love each other. And as you begin to examine yourself this morning, as each person begins to examine their own life and their own heart, I'm going to ask a simple question. Does your life reflect this kind of love that we read about this morning? If you say, well, not exactly. Do you have a desire to love like this? It may be that your lack of love is the very thing that's hindering you from a closer walk with God. And maybe there'll be some this morning as we invite any that want to, there'll be some this morning who wants to come and pray and say, Father, fill my heart with this kind of love.
Yes.
Anybody want to come pray this morning? Anybody else need to come this morning before we join together in prayer? If not, you can stand and pray, or you can be seated and pray, whatever's most comfortable to you. I'm going to ask Brother John Blanton if he would please.